Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to look at the Sunday readings for this 8th week in Ordinary Time 2019. Now the first reading is a reading from the Book of Sirach. When a sieve is shaken, the husk appears. So do one's faults when one speaks. As the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. The fruit tree shows the care it has had. So too does one's speech disclose the bend of one's mind. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. The word of the Lord. The response, Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name most high, to proclaim your kindness at dawn, and your faithfulness throughout the night. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. The just one shall flourish like the palm tree. Like a cedar of Lebanon shall he grow. They shall be planted in the house of the Lord, that shall flourish in the courts of our God. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. They shall bear fruit even in old age. Vigorous and sturdy shall they be, declaring how just is the Lord, my rock in whom there is no wrong. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and when this mortal clothes itself in immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the splinter from your eye, when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his own heart produces good, but an evil person out of the store of evil produces evil. For the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, when we hear these readings today, we find that it's kind of behooved us not to judge rashly or improperly, because sometimes we don't see correctly. A lot of times, as the gospel points out, we're just blind people leading blind people into the same ditch. This is why we're called to not just try to remove splinters out of somebody else's eye, but to first make sure that we have nothing in ours to hinder our vision. A lot of this is because, as Psalm 16 verse 2 points out, the ways that which we walk are clean, pure, holy in our own eyes. But that's why the Lord has to way our spirits actually determine whether or not what we do is good, wholesome, and right. And this is because occasionally there are periods in which we come about discovering that things that we believe were sound actually have ended up being rotten to the core. We don't always see things as we ought to. And this is kind of where, until we actually have the fruit being testified to, being brought out, that we don't always know if somebody really is a hypocrite or not. We can think about it in our political structures, to where sometimes we think an ideology is sound. But until we really investigate that ideology, we don't really know for certain if we're not just blind leading the blind into the same ditch. We can look at that really with the current political climate, where people seem to fall into the categories of whatever political party that they fall into. And they only see things from that particular perspective. And that's a blind way of basically deciding what is right or wrong. And it's one of those things that until we really see the rottenness at the core of something, that we don't understand the full benefit of them. A perfect example is how people have fallen into socialism in other countries, whether it be Venezuela, Russia, or so forth. They hear this equality message, but they don't really understand that the equality message is basically a limitation on wealth, not so much a rising of the poor out from poverty. And until this really gets understood, a lot of people don't understand that you just can't write a blank check that can never be fully cashed, because things cost in this world. And that's where we really have to really understand just how certain things really get laid bare when people really start looking into the schemes that are there, whether they're Ponzi schemes or whether they're pyramid schemes, like the Bitcoin thing that happened a couple years back in the cryptocurrency community. People were throwing thousands and thousands of dollars into this currency that's out there in kind of a cyber place, and we're doing exchanges because there were some that were making a lot of money, but in the end, it became more of a Ponzi scheme, to where people who thought that this was a good way to make money ended up learning that they were losing money and really coming to an inevitable crash. And spiritual failures are like this that happens throughout the church. Great reputations explode high professions get brought down, as we can see in the clergy scandal, to where a lot of people kind of look at themselves as being righteous and holy. But once we really pull back the scale of what it is, we see that there's a lot of self-deception that was going on, and there's self-satisfied pretenders who bring a stain upon the church. And it's for this reason that we need to clean out our eyes, be worried about ourselves, and really take the time to judge the good fruit from a good tree, and not just accept something that could look right but be rotten to its core. There's a lot of ways in which men are openly wicked to God and seem to be right in their own eyes. One of them is that people give pretty names to sin. We can see that in our current society, where people give politically correct nomenclatures to various sins, instead of talking about somebody who's having gender confusion when they are not certain what gender they are. They're determining a different gender. We call them transgender or other titles like that to really make that sound little. Others is that people think ill of others, making themselves out to be worse than themselves in order to find an excuse to allow their sin to go through. This is very typical in political categories, where people blame the other party and demonize them to the point to where, like in the case of certain Republicans are being called racist or women haters, and then you look at how certain Democrats are acting, and they get basically treated with kid gloves when it comes to their bigotries, like the governor of Virginia right now and the lieutenant governor and all the rest of them in that state. Others claim to have very many admirable qualities or fine points that they kind of use to kind of exemplify who they are. They're basically out there striving for women. They're trying to do this and that. And if you don't support them, you're in the wrong. There's also others that talk about how they are imperfect, even though, and they can't help it. The only human argument to where, you know, I'm going to have failings, blah, 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 is kind of an excuse for their own personal sinfulness. But if somebody else falls, wow, that's going to be an attack. They also have this serious problem of really amending, because they never really want to give up their sins. They're always excusing why they have to commit the sins. Like in the case of those that use the argument that you can't choose who you can love. You basically can love the same sex versus whatever, as kind of the explanation goes, that a lot of people miss the point that love is a choice. There is a choice in how you love, because you can't force your love upon somebody that will not resolve to give that love back. And these are the things that we need to be aware of, especially because if we're just basically trying to remove splinters from other people's eyes, but not really see the beam in our eyes, we can get into problems this way. And men do this in a lot of ways, because they kind of look around with different expectations. They don't really look at all their accounts properly, and they basically don't understand how to have an open book with God. Many people who are godless, they boast that they are better than those who are religious in a lot of ways. And you can see this in the Hollywood crowd, because they say, hey, you know, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not judging others. I'm not calling them names. I'm actually living above the fray. But it's when you kind of see this that you kind of get what the writer of the book of Sirach is talking about, where one speech does disclose the actual way in which they think. Because of this, you're not supposed to praise somebody until you've actually heard them speak and actually understand how they actually understand things. Because a lot of the people who are godless will pretend that they're superior to those who are believers, because they basically mock them for having a faith where they're jumping out into an abyss of not knowing, because they can't prove that God exists or not exists, and so on and so forth. And a lot of them really, they don't want to be held accountable for any particular creed or be judged for rejecting anything. And therefore, they're the ones that are the first ones to say, don't judge unless, you know, you want to be judged yourself. And they fall into that ditch of just basically being problematic in that sense. And there's a lot of people that even in a lot of other ways fail the gospel message. We can talk about those that are only outwardly religious, those that basically observe going to worship at particular times. They do certain observances during times of worship, and they're very generous to their particular cause, and they do generally good things. And there's a lot of them that do this, but they do it in a way in which they don't really keep themselves pure. They don't really separate themselves, but it's until they really start getting out and they're really tried, as Sirach talks about the test what the potter molds is not known until it goes into the furnace. It's not until we get into difficult times that we find out if we really have an inward relationship with God or if it's an external religion. There's also those who consider themselves to be profitable in a religious sense, because they are really about trying to get something from it. They go into this genie mentality with God, to where he's supposed to bless them, they're supposed to get something from every service, and they really do not understand the cause that God has of really having us be self-sacrificial towards one another's. And in this case, they're just more or less in Christianity for a good time, and whenever hardship comes up, they too walk away. There's also things that we don't understand about our secret life and hidden indulgences that can hinder us from really moving forward in the kingdom of God. Because in that sense, we're just being a professor in name only and not in any type of real scriptural way. And there's a lot of ways in which a person can deceive themselves and have a log in their eye instead of a true faith in Christ. And this is why we need to understand whether or not we're deceiving ourselves or if we're really putting off sin and really being cloaked with immortality. Because if you're deceived, you'll have a untrue faith in Jesus, and you won't really understand how you are a new creature in Christ who's supposed to live a new way. And a lot of this is just merely because in your mind's eye, religion is an external thing, not an internal thing. So we really need to really take the time and really examine ourselves before we start examining others, really seeing if we're producing the good fruit that God is asking for, because this is how we truly clothe ourselves with the immortality, the incorruptibility of God, and truly have the benefit of victory that comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as Paul writes to us, we're supposed to be firm, steadfast, and fully dedicated to the work of the Lord. If we do those things, if we really take the time to really consider what it is that we're supposed to be, we'll truly gain the eternal life that is promised to us in Scripture. As we are kind of in today's readings, to hold on to the word of life in order to shine as lights for the world. And if we will do this, we truly will be a blessing and be blessed.